my lifetime, I think that being a father was probably the best job and experience I ever had. It wasn't easy and still isn't with both my children being grown. I remember when both my kids were born, and our whole life was dedicated to protecting them. Anybody been through that? Our whole life was dedicated to protecting them. When we first brought our son home from the hospital, who was our firstborn, I couldn't sleep at nights, and I worried about him. Both Ginger and I would stay up all night making sure that he was still breathing. You know, you run up to the, yeah, baby's okay, baby's okay. And with every sigh or whimper or cry, both Ginger and I were there to make sure that everything was all right. Never changed as they grew, you know, as they grew older. We had plastic plugs in the electrical outlet, child-proof locks on the cabinets, and an intercom system just to listen to them when they went to sleep. This is familiar to anybody? There were safety catches to keep them out of cupboards. Like I said, there were baby gates leading to stairwells and the best baby car seat we could find in case of an accident. And we were there to clean up their messes. And yes, that includes changing diapers. And yes, I did change diapers, many of them. And as they got older, we had training wheels and bicycles, helmets, everything we could think of, so our children wouldn't get hurt. We not only protected them from others, but also from themselves. I remember the first day of school with both my kids. You leave them off at the bus stop, you're crying, and you don't get that far away. You get out of the car, you kind of sneak up to make sure they're okay when they get on the bus. And then there's college time, when you leave them off to go to higher education, and you're crying, and you bring everything under the sun that's in our car. Ginger, I don't think we missed anything, did we? And then you talk to your son or your daughter and give them extra cash just in case they needed it. It's because of our love towards them. It wasn't anything more than that. And we did everything in our power to protect them both physically and emotionally. I often wonder that if we as parents seem so phobic about protecting our children, how do you think God feels towards us? How do you think God feels towards us? And I do know that our children felt overprotected and probably made them very happy when it was not the time for us to guard them anymore and when they went on out on their own. But even now, there are times in which they have needs and we get that phone call. Even now, we get that phone call of them wanting us to be involved in their lives and being around them. You know, God's the very same way. And dropping our guard, especially walking outside of God's protection, can be dangerous for our children and definitely for us. It can cause us hurt by our own doing and from those around us. And we know that that's true. We know that Satan is like a roaring lion prowling around to kill and destroy us. And it is important to stay under God's protection and not drop our guard. So today I start a 3-part series called Dropping Our Guard or God. Dropping Our Guard or God. With the first sermon of the series about God's protection around us. And I call this sermon Coming and Going. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, 121, 1 through 8. So why don't we turn to that in your Bible. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. It's in your pew Bible, page 440. So let's turn to that. If you don't have a Bible, just grab a pew Bible and go to page 440. Before we start, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, although we don't see him, God is with us. Why don't you do that?
Although we don't see him, God is with us.
God is with us. Amen. And He is. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you as our Father God who protects us, who tries to talk to us, who puts safety catches in every place imaginable, who has our best interest in mind. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, from these verses, teach us, just teach us how powerful you are. Teach us how you watch over us, Lord. Help us know that even in the darkest of days, you're still there. And you're hovering there. You're hovering to protect us and to provide for us and to attend to us in a careful manner. Dear Lord, open our hearts and open our ears to your word so that we know that we're never alone. That you cover us in every situation. Help me, Lord, to be available to your Spirit. Please talk through me, Lord. Let me say what you want your people to hear about your all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present nature. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Psalm 121, I think, is a great chapter. It's one of 15 chapters in Psalms that would be songs that would be sung to God in Israel's pilgrimage to Jerusalem and to the temple. It was used, these pilgrimages were usually around festival time or Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But the pilgrimage would involve very long hikes for a lot of people. Hikes that would go over really, really rough terrain. Hikes that would go on for a couple days in the heat of the day and the cold of the evening. For many, it was a very treacherous trip. Not only did they have obstacles of nature, they also had obstacles of thieves and robbers that were out there just waiting for this pilgrimage to begin. So these verses in chapter 121 are really songs that were sung out to God in praise as a reminder to them that they will be protected because they were making that pilgrimage to God's holy temple. So in this chapter, the Israelites look to God to guard them. And what you find out here are four descriptions of his protective nature. And that's what we find in this psalm. So let's just go down the list. You ready? Let's unpack these verses and let's go. You ready? Okay, let's do that. Number one, he's our help. He's our help. Psalm 121, 1 through 2 says this. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You can just envision them going through this terrain, this rough terrain, and lifting their heads up to the mountains. Usually the translation isn't mountains, it's hills. Hills, tops, were usually in Israel, they were usually the places of worship. They were the temples of the pagan worshipers. So when you hear God wanting to tear down the temples in the high places, those were the places pagan worship. So you can envision they're coming down, they're singing, they're looking up there, up to all the hills, they're seeing all these temples up there, and they're saying, but that's not our God. That's not our God. And so they're coming up saying, where does help come from? Knowing that their gods are just nothings. Their gods are nothings. They're looking up to the mountains and going beyond, saying, my help comes from not their Lord, but our Lord. And what sets them apart? Their Lord versus our Lord. What sets the gods apart was that our God, Israel's God, was a maker of heaven and earth. He was the creator. He was the creator. And they knew that their help came from the creator, not a pagan tribute or worship or sacrifices of people, which he did, sacrifice of children, but the creator who created life, not these gods that took life. You know the difference? You sense the difference? Wesley Bishop tells this story. Back at the turn of the 20th century, there was an inventor who invented a new machine. He built several of these machines. One factory bought a machine. After a while, they had a problem with it, and it quit working. Engineers from the company looked at it and tried to figure out what was wrong with it. No one could figure out what was wrong. Finally, the owner of the factory called the inventor. He came out. He looked at it for a couple minutes. Then he got out a tool and tinkered on it for a couple minutes. He turned to the owner and said, well, your problem is solved. The inventor handed the owner a bill for $100. Now remember, this was over 100 years ago, and $100 was a lot of money then. The owner exclaimed, $100? You only tinkered around for a few minutes. The inventor replied, $10 for tinkering, $90 for knowing where to tinker. When we need help, it only stands to reason to go to the one who created the world to begin with. The inventor knew more about the machine than anyone because he built it. And God knows more about what we need because he created us to begin with. Isn't that great? He knows our needs because he created it. So you can see this, the family, it's a mom, dad, and they're trekking up these hills and they're looking and they know that the pagan gods can't help them through this trek. It was only the creator God above the mountains that could do that. Number two, this God, our God, will not rest. Psalm 121, 3 through 4. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Let's face it, there are times in our life that there's a lot of things to stumble over. They could be problems, they could be temptations, they could be mistakes. They certainly could be other people that would cause us to stumble. But in their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, the Israelites who traveled on foot could also at any time slip on loose stone or stumble and fall. And so what we're saying here is we have a God who watches us to help us not to stumble, help us not to fall. He saves us from danger by keeping us from falling if we put him in control of our lives. If we put him in control of our lives. He actually says he helps here keep our feet on solid ground. Shamir is a word for watch. It also means to keep, to guard, to watch over, and to attend carefully. Don't you like that? Attend carefully. Sort of like the explanation of Jesus with his sheep, that we have a God that attends us carefully and is on guard to help us. I like this because it says that he will guard us, but he will watch over us and never rest. He will not doze off. He will not slumber. He will not sleep. He will stand and guard our hearts and minds. And he watches over us both individually and corporately. How do I know that? It says, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Which means God not only watches over us individually, He watches over us as the body of Christ. Do you believe that He watches over this church? He does. He watches so this church doesn't do what? Stumble or slip and fall. Or is this church capable of slipping and falling? Darn tootin'. We are. But He watches over us individually if we allow Him. And He watches over us corporately if we're before Him. If we're before Him. As if we allow Him, our Heavenly Father will protect us. Protect us from evil tripping us up. And will protect us from ourselves. Did our kids always do everything that we told them to do? And what was usually the result? Don't run, don't run, don't run. Then what happens? Yeah, they fall. They fall. But it wasn't because we weren't guarding them and trying to train them. It's because they went off to do things their own way. How much do we do that? Go off and do things our own way. When God says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then what happens? God's there to pick us back up and to start all over again. Start all over again. But he will not sleep. He will not sleep. Don't ever say, I don't know where God is in this. Because He's chuckling because He's right beside you watching you. Don't ever say that. God's not present anymore, and that's a lie, because He's just watching us to whisper in our ears to say, don't do that, don't do that. He's watching us on a consistent basis. But He is always there. He is immovable. He is always there. Steve Shepherd shares this story. It's a cute story. A mother and her little four-year-old daughter were getting ready for bed. The little girl was afraid of the dark. When the light was turned out, the little girl caught a glimpse of the moon outside and asked, Mama, is the moon God's light? She said, yes. Will God put out His light and go to sleep? No, honey. God never goes to sleep. The little girl replied, well, as long as God is awake, there's no sense in both of us staying awake. Cute. And the commentary says, be assured, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you does not sleep. That's a part of the strength of our help from the Lord. I get amen on that one? Okay. Number three, just as much as I would go to the bus stop and be hidden and look at my son to make sure he safely got on the bus, God will shadow us. He will shadow us. Psalm 121, 5, 6 says this, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Again, it tells us of God continually shadowing us. How many here think that God shadows them? Good, good. Because He does. I keep on getting this picture of this huge figure behind me. sort of like when you're small and everyone's bullying you and the big football player is starting to shadow you because he feels sorry for you and wants to protect you. Well, that's what I envision God, a lot larger than that, but being there to shadow me. And as this pilgrimage continues, the Lord is blocking out the heat of the sun and the scariness of the moon or the cold of the evening. One commentary mentioned that the pressures of fatigue and anxiety in the pilgrimage will make us feel emotionally ill. You might laugh, but look at ourselves. There are things, craziness that happens to us. We get emotionally ill because we want to handle things on our own. And we don't seemingly grab on to knowing that God is there to protect us. Maybe that's why the root word of lunatic is lunar. Did you know that? As a moon, lunar. So, anybody here have problems when there's a full moon? Okay. Yeah, I'll vouch for this one over here. But in any event, God is our shade. He keeps us cool when it's warm. keeps us have a cold demeanor, and he keeps us level-headed. How level-headed it would be to us if we're reminded that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, he's our shadow. Think about that. You go, I'm okay. Whatever's happening here is okay because he's my shadow. He's there to take the heat off. He's there to take the heat off. And he's there to take care of situations when things seem to get pretty crazy. And in life, things sometimes become pretty crazy. But he gives us that relief from the heat of situations and the craziness of life. And don't say that there's no craziness of life. Because there is. Pastor Howard Hardin says this, so it is with God as his omnipotent presence hovers over us as a shield from our circumstances of life. Isn't that great? Okay, everybody take a big sigh. He's right there. He has your back. He's right there. He has your back. Okay, number four. This is a great characteristic of God. It's important to us. He will watch you everywhere you go. Remember, watch in the Hebrew means to keep, to guard, to watch over, to attend carefully. He will do that. Psalm 121, 7 and 8 says this, the Lord will keep you from all harm. Keep, guard, watch over, attend to carefully. He will watch over your life. Keep, guard, watch over, attend to carefully. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. To keep, to guard, to watch over, to attend to carefully. That word is shamir. And when you do a word study, you find out the shamir appears in this chapter 6 times. Just a reinforcement that God is there. And God isn't going anywhere. He will keep us from harm. And all harm was just not the sun or the moon or slipping and falling. All harm includes those who seek to do us harm. Especially evil. You know, there are certain things that's worse than a robber of our material things. And that is somebody who tries to steal your integrity. Someone that tries to steal your respect, to steal your soul itself, and mostly your hope and your faith. They will steal it. They will take it away unless you understand that God is our shadow. He is there where whether we're going to church or coming home from church, in all of our goings and comings, he is there to keep us, to guard us, to watch over us, to attend to us carefully. He is there. And how long is he there? How long does the scripture say he's there? Isn't that great? Forever. Thank you. Say it again, Warren. Amen. He is always there. When we have a relationship with Christ, when we accept him as our personal Savior, we have an eternity with him. He won't just be here in our day-to-day life. He will be there in eternity when we're with him in eternity. That's pretty good stuff. God has a plan for our life, and if we will allow him to guard us, no evil will hinder that plan. Doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to us, because they do. But what's the difference? He is there. He's there to walk us through difficulties. He's there to walk us through situations. And he gives us that chance to go, okay, God's in control. If we just allow him to guard us, that we don't run outside of his hedge of protection. Not only will he be there for today, he will be there for us forever. Acts 17, 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Isn't that something? This was the church in Acts. This was the movement in Acts that they knew no matter what, even if they lost their lives, it doesn't matter. For in him we live and move and have our being. Isn't that a great verse? That's a great verse. John Beeler writes this story. The American Indians had a unique practice of training young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, fishing, and various other skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods, and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke, and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of the path. Then, surprised, he saw a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night long, just like our father. All night long, just like our father. We're not never lost. I tell people that God is just like the sun. If we walk away from him, it only means we get sunburn on our back, because he is always there. Let's go to this cartoon. It's kind of cute. Lost in the desert, and the young man says, "Can you hear me now?" Good. "Can you hear me now?" Good. It was 5 years ago in September that I was working for an employer. We had a meeting or seminar in Seattle, Washington. Has anybody here been to Seattle? Okay. If you have, I've probably seen more moisture than you would like to see in your whole lifetime, because most of the time it's damp and it's kind of foggy. It's a beautiful place. The weather's great. But there's always this haze, this fogginess. And so Ginger had flown out to join me there. And we spent the 4 days kind of sightseeing, looking around. But it was always that haze, that mist. And we thought we would go down to the market on our last day. It was kind of amazing because it was a sunny day that day. It was as clear as can be. And so we walked down to the market, and we were walking around, and we slowly lifted our heads up. And let's go to the next slide. I'll show you what we saw. When the fog lifted, we saw an amazing sight, and it was Mount Rainier. Now, we saw this from the ground floor, not from a skyscraper. And we saw the tip of the mountain. You couldn't see the tip of the mountain because it was in the clouds. And we looked at each other and we said, "Wow." Because it was about the same time we were deciding whether we were going to say yes to Village Missions or not. And crying out to God saying, "Where are you?" Especially thinking that we're in a fog. But the fog lifted and there it was. Mount Rainier. It was always there. It was always awesome. It was large and it was awesome and it was beautiful. We looked at each other and we said, "You know, that's just like God." Sometimes when that fog lifts, we really see his presence. Always there, unmovable, everywhere. It really touched our lives. It really was a representation of what we're reading right here. Which means that he never slumbers, he never sleeps, and he's right there. And you'll see him every once in a while. You'll have that clear day in which you'll really see him work in your life. But let's not mistake this. Mount Rainier was always there. God is always there for you. Why don't we go to the next slide? And here are the facts about our God. Our God is immovable. He is unshakable. There is no problem you can take to God that he doesn't hear and he won't help you out or help you through. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. Everywhere, whether we're coming or going, no matter where we go or where we come from, he is always there. Always there. So in closing, I've got to ask this question, and that is, where are you today? Are you looking toward him for protection Or are you doing things your way outside his instructions and outside his guidance? Are you walking with him, or have you dropped your God? G-O-D. Have you dropped your God? The one who guards you. Guards you. Attends to you carefully. Who watches you, who keeps you. Whether you like it or not, life is a pilgrimage. Can you all agree with me on that? Life is a pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage of rough terrain, robbers of our soul, craziness, situations that make you sweat, and the coldness of loneliness. We have that in our pilgrimage. The question is, are you walking a pilgrimage to serve an all-powerful, loving God who guards your walk, or are you going through life just doing whatever you want to? Are you running outside of his protection? Maybe it's time for all of us to lift our eyes to the hills and to the mountains and really understand, where does our help come from? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And sometimes we can hear you. We can hear you through the wind, through the trees, and know of your presence in our life. Dear Lord, help us always to sing this song, to be acknowledging that you will watch every step that we take, that you will not sleep, you will be there beside us, that we can take our troubles too, that we can go forward too, that you can comfort and console us. Dear Lord, I also know that you're the God that sent your Son to die for us because of your immense love. That he took the punishment that we deserve, the punishment of our sin on that cross, to give us total forgiveness, to give us a new life, so that we're always with you, coming and going. With that, I'd like to ask, with every head bowed, every eye closed, whether there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ and that wants a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who sacrificed his all just for us. If you do want to know Christ, I just ask that inside you say this prayer. Dear Lord, I repent of my past. I repent of my sin. I need you in my life. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, knowing that I will never, ever, ever, ever feel alone again. And feel that coldness of loneliness and the heat of just living life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like to ask whether anybody here said that prayer for the first time. If you have, I just ask you, put your hand up and right back down. Put your hand up or right back down. Dear Lord, we love you so much, and I love this congregation. I know that you protect us as we study your word and we walk your ways, so that pilgrimage is so much lighter.